This is Gilbert Gottfried, and I'm here with Frank Santopadre, and this is Gilbert and Frank's amazing colossal obsessions with skinless, bloodless, boneless, liverless, spleenless Ray Bone.
Well, I notice I still have ears because I'm going to need those for this episode here.
What happened to your spleen?
Yeah, it's no telling what kind of trouble a spleen
can run into. How are you, Paulie?
I'm good, man.
How are you, Gilly?
I had a great day today.
You had a what?
I had a great day today.
Why don't you tell us about it?
I'm going to do that. Listening to my old 45s.
Ah!
You know?
You're giving us a little sneak preview.
Yeah.
Before we do that, I'm going to give out some gifts.
Okay.
These are goodies. Gilbert loves to get gifts.
Yes.
Don't you, Gilbert?
Yes, I do.
These are sent to me because my office at ABC is now a clearinghouse for this stuff. It's become a storeroom. It's like it's turning into the... That scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
They store everything at the end of the movie.
Anyway.
It needed a laugh line.
These are from Ben Walker Story, who is an artist. Look at this.
Oh!
This is good shit. That he sent Monster Funk adult coloring book.
Oh, always fun.
And you get with it the Horror Critics Journal, and there's one for everybody. There's one for Frank. There's one for Paul.
Excellent.
One for Gilbert. You can write in that.
Cheap chills.
Look at that.
Excellent.
A fan of the show sent us some swag. We also got a big box in my office from our friends at the Cartoon Network, from our friend Ned Hastings, and he sent DVDs of a show that I think Frank's friend is starring in.
Matt Servito,
called Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell. I don't know. Dave Seidel is nodding. Dave Milstein is nodding. We don't know. I don't know anything about this. I'm out of the loop, boys.
Matt's an awesome guy. You would know him as the FBI agent from The Sopranos.
Ah, that guy.
Oh, okay.
Look at that. There's your DVD. Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell with 2 hours of uncensored extras, Ray Bone.
I'm taking that home.
Gifts for you. There's one for you here, Frankie.
It's got a lot of Gilbert nudity in it.
Also, also a lined notebook of Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell.
See? That I always like.
Beautiful spiral notebook. One for you, Paulie.
Oh, right. This is a nice notebook.
Frank received his. There is plenty more. They sent a giant box, a room-sized box
of
stuff. It's T-shirts. It's Adult Swim stuff, Venture Brothers, all kinds of stuff. And I didn't have room to bring it all.
I got to read one tweet I got.
Okay, go.
That, on a previous show, somebody asked about, Jeff Ross historical roast where I was Hitler roasting and Frank. And there were some people attacking that. And one guy wrote, "This is Citizen Plain President." I don't know if I'm saying right.
Okay, it doesn't sound like a name.
But he tweeted this. He said, "You are right. Hitler's killing of people was not funny, but watching a Jewish man play Hitler and have other Jewish people talk shit to him is funny."
There you go.
Yeah, and I thought that explains it right there.
So you feel better about playing Hitler now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think my parents would have been proud.
Would that have been a proud moment for them? Paulie Paul.
Yeah.
We're going to do something that, why don't you explain what we've done?
His eyes just fell out.
If you're over there, Frank, we've been doing some record collections. We did yours a couple of weeks ago.
We sure did.
Highlights from Frank's records. Did we do yours? We didn't do
yours.
Yes.
Yeah.
We didn't do Gilbert's.
No.
No, because that would require Gilbert actually working. And actually, we did Dara's record collection.
We did Dara's, right.
It started with mine. It started with Frank's record collection, and I tried to stump Gilbert.
Right.
And I believe you were here.
I was here.
Is Paul looking more and more like Neil Simon, or is it my imagination? Doesn't he look like Doc Simon?
Sure.
I'll take a picture of you and post it. And then Dara decided that she was going to take up the challenge, so we did Dara's CD collection originally.
Right.
And then we did two with Dara. Then we did Dara's record
part
collection.
Part one and part two. Part two, Dara's mom stuff.
Which we have. Yeah, Dara's mom chimed in too. I don't think we put that one up yet. And then I challenged Ray Bone to say, go through your record collection, on your 45s? Did you actually have them in the house still?
Actually, amazingly, I had all my 45s, about 100 of them. I didn't know I had that many.
Wow.
And the reason I have them.
You still have them.
About 20 years ago, my father was cleaning out his closets, and he said, I'm getting the hell out, getting this out of here, and mailed it to me without any warning. And so I have them. If he hadn't done that, they would have gone out, God knows, you know, when they left the house.
Fantastic.
So I got them.
I would volunteer to do my record collection, but I think most of the songs I like are 27 minutes long.
Yeah. Yeah, you're just like deep, but what, King Crimson?
Genesis and, Supper's Ready.
Deep album
there goes
cuts.
The whole
yes.
show.
Yeah, we'll just sit here in silence and be absolutely puzzled and perplexed. Gilbert's looking at his swag.
Yes.
Ponderous.
Does all that go in the bottom of the closet, or are you actually
going to? Yes,
yeah. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
This one I can draw pictures in.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go. So thank you to
Ned Hastings.
To Ned Hastings.
And he also said, wait, there's somebody.
There's more.
And Chris Kelly.
Chris Kelly is the other guy, Casper Kelly.
Casper Kelly.
That's the name I was trying to think of. Bless your heart. So thank you to Chris and Casper, same person, and also to the very generous Ned Hastings. And Frank tells me that we have a lot of fans at the Cartoon Network.
Yeah, well, what I love is I record a lot for Cartoon Network, and then Ned reached out one day and said, hey, I'm a fan of the show, and I also get your files next after you record.
How nice.
Which is so super cool.
Yeah, we were talking about Batman movies on Facebook, Ned and I. And as I said, this is just the tip of the iceberg because there's a lot more swag in the box, including T-shirts, Gilbert, which really gives you a chubby.
Yes.
And we also want to thank Ben Walker's story. So we'll get to the show, and we'll get to the meat of Raybone.
All right.
Dirty. So there's some kind of weird metaphor there that I just made.
Let's not do that.
So I want to give you a break and start with an easy one.
Okay.
Okay, so one of the first things I pull out
tilt
of my
that
45s.
Screen a little bit toward you so that I don't actually see it in peripheral. Vision.
So are
and
you ready?
The two Daves are here, and they're playing along through the glass.
That's right. Feel free to play at home. I have a 45 RPM record with one side says, Love Me Do, and the other side says, P.S. I Love You. The question is, who is credited with writing these songs on the 45?
Oh. Is this a trick question?
Not Lennon McCartney.
It is not Lennon and McCartney.
Love Me Do and what was
P.S.
the other one?
Yes, I Love You.
They weren't written. Those are not Lennon McCartney compositions.
Wow.
Was it the 45 RPM record?
This may because I have those also. I think
you breaking news or is this a trick question?
I think I'm breaking news.
Okay. It wasn't Lennon and McCartney. It was the Beatles.
Both tunes are credited to McCartney Lennon.
Oh,
I'm gonna hit him.
Seidel had it. He knew it. He's pumping his fist. He knew it. How
right.
about that?
Come on, that was a giveaway. Isn't that weird, though?
That
I don't think
little,
that ever.
That is a little weird.
So that one, I think, might
At
be worth
At some point,
fortune.
They decided to go alphabetical.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. All right. So now we get to the hard ones,
okay.
The real ones.
I'm excited.
Okay, so Frank, you want to
That one was just annoying.
That was just annoying.
He hasn't even done one yet. Gilbert's pissed off.
That's the kind of thing you tell your friends in school and they beat you up over it.
This does not bode well.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's
here we
like,
go.
That wasn't Burt Bacharach. It was Mr. Bacharach.
Yeah,
okay, all right.
Hopefully we got our first lead on Burt Bacharach today.
Oh, great.
So
cross
your fingers.
Good.
I'm working it.
Oh, my God.
All right, Frankie.
Here we go. Here's song number one. This is not Lennon
gosh.
Or McCartney.
Was that the bird?
I'm
bird?
Tearing up. Well, you're
it's
you're
the
warm.
Same song, pretty yeah. much, right? The bird is the word.
Right. Yeah.
But this isn't. Is it called Papa Mau Mau?
Papa Mau Mau.
Well, let it play a little bit. Did Gilbert, right. Gilbert said it's very similar to the song. He's right.
Yes, okay, he's
the
right.
The bird
so
is the word.
There were three follow-up songs. What were the three follow-up songs? And who, first of all, who performed Papa Umau Mau?
Salt and Pepper.
No, that's not right.
So these are obviously the guys who did the bird.
It's a little more complicated than that. So these guys.
I'm stumped.
The Rivingtons.
The Rivingtons.
Which didn't ring a bell with me at all, even though I own a record.
They played at my bar mitzvah. Should have known this.
There were three follow-up songs. The first one was The Bird by the Rivingtons, again.
Yeah, The Bird
later,
is the
later
word.
Later the same year.
Well, now everybody's heard about the bird. Not the bird in the
Papa Umauma.
Used to great effect in Good Morning Vietnam.
That's right.
So they didn't have a great amount of range.
No. They stuck with a winner, you know? Go with a winner. Now, the third one.
There's an Umauma version of the Battle of the Republic.
Yes!
That you'd love.
The third one was by the Trashmen, and that was Surfin' Bird. Yet again, same melody, similar nonsense.
Did you give
words.
All of them to him?
Yes. Well, everybody's heard about the bird.
Oh, this is the one from Good Morning Vietnam.
The surfing board.
And,
yeah.
And also a Family Guy.
Yeah. Yes, of course.
Loves playing this.
Right. Yeah.
So they had a huge legal mess over this. The Trashmen were like a garage band.
The Trashmen were basically ripping off the Rivingtons.
Exactly.
Okay,
so
now we're on board.
So and the Rivingtons didn't have that much to work with to begin
right.
with. So
but they worked
for them
it all,
to
they
be
worked
stolen
it all out,
from.
And they say there was no legal trouble. They put everybody's name on the song. And in the 1970s, it was Surfin' Bird was revived by the Ramones and the Cramps. I don't know the Cramps.
Wow.
I'm waiting for anyway. Pharrell Williams' version, personally.
This is impressive.
So, isn't it, you know, you didn't know that.
I didn't know that. I know the Surfing Bird. It's been used.
Surfing
is that the name
bird,
of the song?
Right.
It's been
Surfing
used.
Bird.
It's been used a lot and to great effect. You
right.
had the original pressings of these? You had the original 45s?
I don't know. Well, I don't know if it's here. Or the, I think so, because
okay.
it was about the right time.
Very impressive.
Yeah.
Milstein is nodding in there like he knows this stuff. He may.
Yeah.
He's a music guy.
All right,
I'm frightened.
Right. Okay.
We're
going
to have to bring him back and do Dave's record collection.
Yeah, that's right. All right. All right. I got to get it down.
And that song was written by Paul and John.
Yeah. You'll never forget that now.
No.
All right. You want to go to number two, Frank?
Let's do it.
All right. Here it comes. Ready?
I've never heard these. Wow.
Sounds like 60s, doesn't it?
What to do if a boy makes eyes at you. Tell me, mama, what to say.
I love this and I don't know it.
Yeah.
Should I let him hold my hand? Tell him that I think he's brave.
I thought you'd like it because it's kind of risque.
Yes.
Tell me, mama, tell me what to do.
It's sort of Leslie Gore-ish. But not, obviously.
No. So I'll give you a hint.
Girl group. Is it a girl group or
it's a
solo?
It's a girl singer. Now, from 1961 until 63, Helen Shapiro, who I never heard of, was England's teenage pop. Yeah, that's right.
Thank you, Adolf.
That's all I care about.
That's it. Okay, moving on.
Helen Shapiro.
She was the England's teenage pop music queen. And she was so big that every record label was scrambling to have its own teenage pop music queen. And this was one of those who I think was 14 when she recorded. Her name is Christine Quaitt.
This one we just heard was Christine Quaitt.
Right.
Did you know of Christine Quaitt, Gilbert?
No.
Helen Shapiro.
It's
her alter ego.
I'd like to read up on Helen Shapiro.
Well, you know, I'm kind of surprised you don't know her because she spent some time on the local amateur circuit in Leeds, England. You didn't cross paths.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When
Gilbert was
time
in the original
there.
Georgie Girl. Original right. name of McCartney is Helen Wheels, by the way. Helen Shapiro.
Yeah.
Never knew that.
And she might have... Christine Quaitt might have had another hit, but her record company went bankrupt.
Christine Quaitt.
The other
so
reason
never
was
got
nobody
chance.
Ever heard of her.
I'm just so glad. I'm glad these are in your collection. I'm enjoying them. I've never heard of these.
I see why your father sent them back.
One more tidbit reference to what you were just saying.
Yeah.
Christine Quaitt's last single, which went exactly nowhere, was called "Long After Tonight Is All Over" by Burt Bacharach and Hal David.
How about that?
Just went
nice.
Nowhere. Nothing. How about that?
I'm going to do some deep research
okay.
on Christine Quaitt.
All right.
Is she still with us?
I don't think so.
Okay, I'm sorry but to hear
that.
I'm not sure about that.
David and Bacharach.
I would
not
David,
how,
yeah, that's yeah. right. Yeah, they're
See,
right. Yeah.
That's right. King yeah. of the callback here.
Yeah, a lot of people think it was Bacharach David, but they're wrong. Yeah.
All right, okay. Raybone.
You know, Frank pulled away some plastic wrap when I was opening his
The sheet. Guy has zero instincts about a microphone. How long have you been in show business? He shakes a glass with ice cubes in it. Yeah. He peels cellophane off of a gift when he gets it. I'm waiting for him to show up with a bag of walnuts.
Yeah.
Guys, I brought a little water feature to put in the studio.
Christ.
The sound
I
of a
brought
waterfall.
In some parakeets. I don't like these.
Next week, Gilbert brings bubble wrap to the show. All right, song number three.
Number three.
Here it comes.
I've never heard them.
Okay.
dropped a bomb somewhere, contaminating atmosphere and blackening the sky. It's good news week. Someone's found a way to get
this is clearly a British invasion.
Yeah.
They go on and never die. Have you heard the news? What did it say? Who's won that race? What's the weather like today?
The only question on this is who sings this? You know the song?
I'm going to take a wild guess because it sounds like a band called Circle that Paul Simon wrote a song called
Red Rubber Ball. It's not.
I'm way off. But it sounds like them.
It sounds like them.
I once was on a TV show, maybe Night Court, and I met one of the crew guys, introduced himself to me, and he was one of the members of Circle.
Wow. C-Y-R-K-L-E.
Yeah.
Circle. Morning sun is shining like a red rubber ball. But the song was in that vein. Is it British Invasion?
Yeah, it is. And I don't know that they did anything else. I think this was the one thing. Hedgehoppers Anonymous.
Jeez.
I just thought it was worth it just because I like the name.
I should have known she'd bid me farewell. There's a lesson to be learned.
A better song.
And I learned my lesson well. Always running, never leaving. That's the life you lead. I took my with my tears, and that's all I got. And I think it's gonna be all right.
Yes,
yeah,
the worst is over now.
The morning sun is shining like a red rubber ball.
Okay, raise your hand if you wish Paul had picked that one. Everybody.
Oh,
okay.
Wait,
everybody knows that one.
Wait, do you know their other song? I'm pretty sure this is Circle. It's much too groovy a summer's day to spend running round
don't
in
know it.
The city.
Yeah. Don't know it. Anything?
It's a turn down day.
Yeah, you know this one.
Oh,
you know
yes. Nothing on my mind.
I do. Very good.
I don't know who that is, but that's
very good. Gilbert's personally bringing Circle back.
Yeah.
Gilbert, single-handedly.
I'm bringing back Circle jerks.
He's bringing sexy back.
You don't
back.
Have to do your record collection. You could just come in and do your brain.
Yes.
You know? You've stumped us so far,
okay,
Paul.
Okay. All right. I'm going to try to make. I'm trying to give you an easy one here.
Boy, right. So this the is one, a deep dive,
try the
my
one
friend.
That was before this one, Frank,
deep,
please.
There's
cuts.
Nothing there.
Too deep.
There's nothing there? Okay, we'll skip that one then. I'll tell you, there were a couple of interesting things about that. That one was That's the Way Boys Are by Whom?
I never heard of the Whom. Are they related to the Whom?
Boys Are. That's the Way Boys
These
Are.
That's
the Way Boys Are.
They all sound like something else.
Not Connie Francis.
Leslie Gore.
That's the Way Boys
and
Are.
And she had
Shame
some other
me.
Hits and things. And then
Shame on me.
She recorded, in 1963, she recorded her, a composition called Sunshine, Lollipops,
and
Rainbows.
Rainbows, of course. I know that
one. And who wrote that one? It was his first hit.
Give me a hint. Give me first initial.
Chorus Line.
Oh, yeah.
Marvin Hamlish.
Very good. Sunshine, Lollipops, and Rainbows.
All right. Sorry, I can't play that for you, but we'll move on.
Imagine it. Just imagine it. Close imagine. Your eyes.
I thought I knew Leslie Gore.
Rainbows.
I'll tell you.
I'm having
an off night.
I discovered about a dozen Leslie. I had
well,
every
I played
Leslie
one
Gore
on this
single.
Song, on this show, California Nights, which you were not familiar with from Batman.
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast. After this.
Okay, Paulie.
This next song is named after a deli chain in New York City. You're going to get it right away.
Great. Oh, it's Zager and Evans.
Zager and Evans.
You own this?
They make the brush meter.
I own this. With the mariachi.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
This is great stuff.
We should have had this on the show before a few times.
If only we had.
Really paints it. You know, it's as relevant today as it was 50 years ago.
Except we're that much closer to it.
In the year 35, ain't gonna need to tell the truth.
A true one-hit wonder.
What's interesting musically about this?
Besides the Spanish influence?
Besides that, it changes key almost every verse, which is unusual.
Interesting.
Or musically. This musically and medically.
This is the song that kicked off the first music mini we ever did, which was One Hit Wonders. From, I believe, 1969. 1969.
Yeah, right. You're right.
Yeah, so this song's 50 years old.
So this is the first one that I'm, at least I'm familiar with.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Yeah. Okay. But I'm not. They're not going to be too. That one I just liked because I just thought we should listen to it. You know, for old time's sake.
Okay, we need for old time's sake. What are you, Abe Vigoda? Okay, Zager and Evans.
All right, Zager.
Love Zager, okay. Hated Evans, as we said last time.
All right. Yeah. Okay, you got the next one, Frank, please. Sir.
You got another Helen Shapiro hit?
Here it comes.
It's so groovy now that people are finally getting together. Sing, it's so wonderful that people are people are finally getting together. Reach out in the darkness. Reach out in the darkness.
I think he's got it.
Yeah. Look, if you don't like it, we can stop it right now.
Great single.
Good one, right?
I have such respect for you that you own these.
Okay, now, who? I'm not going to let you off that easy. Who sang it?
Gilbert.
Helen Shapiro.
And the Trash Men.
Helen Shapiro, under her alias as Friend and Lover.
Yeah, Friend and Lover.
Friend and Lover.
See, I should have known that.
All right.
We knew the song.
This was an anthem adopted by the protest movement. You wouldn't be surprised to hear.
I wouldn't
but
be.
In the you might be surprised to know that in the 1970s, it became a staple of some Christian rock groups.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Who thought its message somehow had something to do with... I'm going to stop right there.
It's very... That's a good choice. Gilbert knew it. I'm impressed.
Okay. All right.
Very good. Did we know that one, Daves? They're nodding.
They're nodding.
I mean, it's about time you guys knew one of these things, you know?
Well, we knew Zager and Evans, Zager for Christ's sake. Your bonus track. All right, here we go. How are we doing on time, Frank?
We're doing
you got
great.
An idea?
I have no idea how long, but
fantastic.
It's
fantastic. Let's keep going until we all fall asleep.
This next band, I'll give you one clue before we play it. They invented Fudgy the Whale. Let's
great.
Have a listen.
Okay. Tom Carvel and the Trash Men.
Yes.
Could you be more obscure with these selections?
Do you recognize the melody at all?
Nope. I think the idea behind this poll was that we should be able to actually get some of them.
Actually get some of them. All right, this is You Don't Have to Be a Baby to Cry by the Caravels. Reach number 3 on the U.S. chart. Number 3 on the Billboard chart. I mean, that's respectable.
I've never heard this song in my fucking life.
You,
Gilbert?
I'm convinced that Paul made all these records 5 minutes before coming in here. Right.
If you see the video, it's wonderful.
He's
it's
like versatile.
It's a very really 80s talented. Nightclub thing going on.
Daves, do we know this song? This is a no.
Okay, but here's why you should have known this song. It became the first British record on the Hot 100's Top 40 in 1964. The first one beating Cliff Richard by 2 weeks and The Beatles by 3 weeks.
What is the name of this act?
The Caravels.
The Caravels. Nope.
Don't let yourself be embarrassed like this again.
I'll go back to Verderosa's Cookie Puss clue or whatever it was. Fudgy the Whale.
Do you know the joke, how does Tom Carvel take a shit? You know that
yes,
one?
Yes, I'm familiar. God. Right. Where did you find these songs?
In my record collection.
Did
that
you
was
cut
the assignment.
These off the back of Alphabet's boxes? Yeah, <that's> right. All right.
Okay, let's move along.
You know, we got some music experts in the booth, and you're fucking with them, too. You're stumping
them.
Well,
I just met them. I should probably be a little rude to be fucking with them so quickly.
Here we go.
All right, this next one.
More obscurity.
After school is over, we can
oh, right. Not a clue. I'm noticing a recurring motif.
Here's the hook. It's called 442 Glenwood Avenue.
Nope.
Yep. And
that's where Helen Shapiro lived.
They made two appearances. Here's the other reason you should know them. They made two appearances on the Ted Mack Amateur Hour.
Gil, anything?
No.
Besides one in Red Ball.
Dave's experts, nothing.
No. This is very upsetting.
Paul has managed to take a fun premise.
Yeah, yeah.
And turn it into a dull homework assignment.
Yeah, yeah.
But but look at the things I'm opening,
Paul.
I'm opening you up to some wonderful stuff.
This is just added to my list of reasons to never have Paul here ever again.
I thought it was a foolproof premise.
Can I mention
it was always enjoyable before. And you fucking
adorable,
killed it.
Adorable, foolproof premise. The audience could sing along. Oh, I love that song.
It was relaxing. It was, you just unwind.
Right.
And you fucking killed it.
There are five people sitting here staring at him.
Yeah.
I have to tell you how this all started,
too. I can
deliver
the final death blow here.
Earlier during the full episode, I said to Paul, do you have the links for the mini? And he handed me like a 10-page printout of all the YouTube
nice.
Links.
Oh, great. Yeah.
That's not how this works.
This is our crack researcher,
we're
folks.
We're lucky we have any music at all here.
We're never going to have one of these premises ever again. Thank you, Paul.
I'm just amazed Paul could get his 45s into the computer like that. That's not easy.
You see, the premise is basically to come up with some that are stumpers,
right?
But for the purposes of being entertaining,
right?
And so the audience at home can say, "Oh my God, I know that song."
The premise is you don't want to throw yourself in front of a train. That's it.
Choose songs that more than one person might know.
All right. Well, I got two or three more. I might be able to redeem myself.
It's sort of an audience identification.
Please stop.
Try the next one, Frank. They should know this one.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Let's get right to it. Here we go.
Take a look.
I got this one.
No, what?
This is the Seekers.
The Seekers.
Whoa.
I forgot the name of the goddamn song. Hang on.
You ready? Right. Let's make this the one.
Yeah. The Seekers.
Yep. 12-string guitar.
Yeah, it's... I'll never find another you.
I know I'll never find another you.
Somewhere.
Oh, okay.
They call the promised land.
You know this one, don't you?
Oh, yes. This one I know.
Paul, you've almost redeemed yourself.
Not after the torture.
Here's something
that
you
is
will
caused
like.
Stop until now.
Which one of their songs
what I do
became?
Cause I know
I'll never find another you.
I love you guys singing that to me. It's great.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, there was the Seekers and there was the New Seekers.
The New Seekers. That's right.
Well, their big hit was Georgie Girl.
I was just gonna say.
That was their
the
monster
movie
hit.
That was it.
Yeah.
Yep. From the movie.
Yeah.
Correct.
I got one.
Correct. Ah. you might get the next one.
Salvation.
So it did not get. It was up nominated for an Academy Award in 1967.
Ooh.
But it lost to.
1967.
Up the down staircase.
Give us the movie, and we'll tell you the song.
In a recent episode. With love.
Recently, we asked somebody what song made you cry or what something like that, and this was the answer. This is the song.
Everything you've done has made me cry. Yeah.
So the answer is Born Free.
Oh, it who lost just mentioned to Born it? Free.
Oh, yeah, okay.
John Barry.
Somebody just mentioned Born Free came up within the last couple of weeks.
It was Richard Marx.
Was it Richard
Marx?
Yeah,
he said that's Born
right,
Free
said,
made
yeah,
him cry.
That's right.
So this song lost
to Born
best
Free.
Best song?
Best
Oscar?
That's right.
To Born Free.
Right.
Oh, well, we should be able to get this, Gilly.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
Is it Helen Shapiro?
No, it was the Seekers. Georgie Girl
was
the one that lost.
Oh, you're giving the fact after
right,
the song.
Right.
Very good.
Right.
Okay, good.
All right. Okay.
All right, I've given
all right.
up.
Okay.
Okay, how many more
right,
you got?
I got
can
two
we
more,
go
I think.
Now?
Gilbert's drinking bleach.
Yeah. Are we there yet?
All right. Try the next one, Frank.
All right.
I don't want to.
No, this one you're totally going to know.
Okay.
Some harmonica in there.
I know. This is every retail commercial in the 70s. Come into ShopRite, where canned peas.
Yeah.
The garden walls.
Oh, God. What is the name of the song?
You'll get around to it eventually.
God damn it.
It became a famous band, if that helps.
Here in the game with a sign. Every variety show in the 70s covered this.
Yes,
Donnie and Marie.
Yes.
And
this actually,
it's a great song.
Was first published in 1933 as piano sheet music.
I'm going to open a vein. What is the name of this song?
Deep Purple.
Deep Purple.
By Nino Tempo and April Stevens.
Yeah, Donny Osmond covered this.
So these, tell me what nationality these people, their real names are Antonino and Carol Vincinette Lo Tempio.
My people.
Your people.
Yeah, what Gilbert calls fucking Dagos.
Yeah, no, I call them fucking guineas.
Yeah. My peeps.
I don't use the term Dago.
Deep Purple. Should have known that.
I say fucking guineas.
And it was played by Paul Whiteman's famous
Yes, Paul Whiteman's orchestra. That's I'm pretty sure Donny Osmond covered that song. Do I have anything on this, Milstein? Nah, he's not giving me a buy-in on that one.
Okay,
all right, let's do one more.
One more. I have exactly
because
one more.
Gilbert is fashioning a rope together out of all of our sport coats.
Before he kicks the stool away.
He's making a rope out of crumbled up plastic bottles that he's got next to him. Here we go. Here,
you'll know this one.
Yeah.
No.
This is called Land of a Thousand.
No.
The name of this fucking thing. God. These are. Yeah, I'm picturing Drew Carey doing
yes,
this.
Yeah, I know.
Drew Carey joke. What the hell is the name of this thing?
You know what, Gilbert? You recognize it?
I know the song, but I don't know the title or. One word
it was,
in
I'll
it.
I'll give you some hints. It was
first recorded
by the Isley Brothers.
Isley Brothers.
That helps. And it was in what movie? Maybe lots of them, but one
lots
that's
of
notable.
Movies. Lots of movies. Definitely the Drew Carey Show.
Kill Bill Volume 1.
Oh, okay.
Very good.
I was
going to
say Animal House.
And it's called Nobody But Me. It's
Nobody
the Human
But Me.
Beans, B-E-I-N-Z.
Oh, Human Beans.
Human Beans. And there was something that you should know, if you will know now. It's 31 repetitions of the word no fulfilled Casey Kasem's Book of Records category of the most repetitive word or phrase in a top 100 hit.
How about that, Gil?
Oh,
a Casey Kasem reference.
I'm glad I came in.
What did it just what did it just beat in terms of frequency of a word?
Paul, would you get out right
no
fucking
sunshine.
Now?
I know, ain't no sunshine, and the repetition was I know.
Oh,
Bill
very
Withers,
good.
Right?
Bill Withers, very good.
Right.
Okay.
That's it.
You stumped the shit out of us, pal.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm glad to see how you enjoyed it. It warms my heart.
I can't say I enjoyed it.
No.
But on the other hand, you did a creditable job.
You know, it's
of coming up with.
It's a sign of respect that I didn't give you easy ones.
You definitely did not give
you know?
Us easy ones.
No.
This was where we got two, kind of.
Yeah, maybe
you
three.
Know, like yeah, two yeah. or three where we went.
I don't think
yeah.
there was one where we got the. I did one. The Seekers. Doing another Never Find Another You. But that was the only one where we got the title
in
and the artist.
2525. Yeah.
And well you threw that one. That was a layup you threw at us.
Wow.
Well, and now here's Sting to take us out.
Fucking ponderous.
That's fucking ponderous.
Thank you, Paul.
That's all I got. That's the whole thing.
That's
right
a pretty
there.
Impressive record collection. Yeah. I have
that
to say.
Is. Yeah. That's surreal.
It's, yeah. I noticed it was dominated by a lot of young women, so I guess I have some idea what I was thinking about in those days.
Dominating young women.
Frankie, you want to take us out
dominating
on Surfing Bird?
Oh, absolutely.
As Gilbert signs off?
By the way, there's a great video you
listen to. I don't want to listen to you anymore.
Surfing Bird.
Anyway, this has been Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions and Paul's Farewell.
That was so sad. Picked his own farewell music.
Good night and good luck.
Thanks, Frank. Thanks, Dave Seidel. Thanks, Dave Milstein. Thank you, Paulie.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Did anyone think this was going to go any differently? I'm just...
No. Nope.
In the still of the night, once again I hold you tight. Though you're gone, your love lives on when moonlight bleeds. And as long
when the deep purple falls over sleepy garden walls, and the stars begin to twinkle. Mist of a memory, you wander back to me, breathing my name with a sigh,
in the steel of the night. Once again I hold you tight. Oh, you're gone, your love lives on my moonlight beam, and as long lovers will always be here in my deep purple dreams. And as long as my heart will beat, sweet lovers will always meet.